This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
All right, just waiting on Coach Carroll, who should be here in just a moment or two for our preseason chat, Brock. Been a little while since we've sat down with the coach, but of course we'll be doing it every Monday here at 9:30, following every game as we've done every year for what feels like forever. And then KJ Wright show debuts or re-debuts tomorrow at 8 o'clock. We'll have KJ in for the entire 9 o'clock hour. Do you think people will like that as much as last year?
Yeah.
You think that'll be a fan favorite again?
I know it will be. And now that he's become this media darling, right? He's got his podcast. He's on the pregame. He's just, doing all sorts of stuff. And, he will inevitably be super transparent and add so much more insight that this QB doesn't always see, especially from the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, with that in mind, we don't have to play a special open. So let me just welcome Coach Carroll to the show. Coach.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
It's good to see you.
Good. Nice to see you in the summertime.
I know. Yeah, it's kind of a rare opportunity to get over here. Unfortunately, before we get into some of the fun stuff here with football, I thought we would just start quickly with the incredibly sad news yesterday about Alex Collins. We were just devastated when we heard it.
Yeah, what a heartbreaker, man. Such a beautiful kid. If people don't know Alex, he had such a great spirit. He was so much fun. Loved being around people, having a good time. Was really a favorite personality in the room. You know, he did all the kick dancing and amazing things that made him. So we really do miss him.
Big smile. Do you have some memories that kind of jump out to you when you think of Alex? Something you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, we always love the story about him, about coming out of the SEC and being such a great player. And he was so humble about it. You know, remember his record that he had that he tied with Herschel Walker, the 3 straight 1,000-yard years. We always made fun of the fact that he was better than Herschel and stuff like that, And he was really humble about it. But he was really humble, but yet he was a showman because he loved doing his kick dancing, whatever that stuff
is. The Irish dancing.
Dancing clogs or something. And he was really good at it. And anyway, he was just a wonderful kid and missed the heck out of him.
You know, it strikes me, Pete, through the years that you seem to gravitate towards personality. And I don't know if that just finds you or maybe through recruiting and through drafting and through the process that you also get enamored with guys that just have that kind of charisma. Is that a fair way to look at it?
Yeah, it's true. I do. I do find a special place for those guys. And I just think that I love showing and celebrating their uniqueness, and I think it adds to the color of the team and the fun of it all. But, it's just been something that has happened. You're right. We've had a bunch of, unusually kind of outstanding individuals, and so that is part of our makeup for whatever reason. I can't tell you why.
Can you talk to Mike B without laughing?
No, I love Mike, man. He's hilarious. To me, everything about him is funny because he's always looking at the world in this unique Mike B way, and to see him. Did you see what he was wearing the other night?
Oh yeah.
I don't even know what genre that would be from, but everything about him is just comical.
Did you get to go back and listen to the TV tape of that game?
I did. No, yeah, of course.
He's a riot. I could not stop laughing throughout the entire game.
And Mike Robb loves him too, and they just have a nice way of playing off him. I thought Kate did a great job too. She was amazing doing the game and putting up with those two knuckleheads. That was really fun.
I know you got your doctorate at SC now, but where did sartorial come from? Because I had to look that word up.
Yeah, well, I heard Duffy Doherty say that one time a million years ago. I was helping out my high school coach at the national convention in San Francisco, and got to meet Duffy Doherty. This big, and right off the bat, he said that statement. I've never forgot. I was 17 years old. Wow. Someone heard that
came right up.
The epitome of sartorial splendor.
As soon as you saw Mike B.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this team. Give me what sort of the overall vibe takeaway from camp so far.
We're rolling, really. The vibe is very positive and very upbeat. It's a very competitive group. They like the way that we do it. We challenge them to compete against each other, and they really are having fun with that. And, there's a mentality about that generates an energy in practice and the way we work against one another that I think really brings out the best, and our best teams have been that way. So we've sent a big signal about developing the standard for how we operate and how we function. And these guys are they're really relishing that opportunity. Today's Comp Wednesday for us, you know, for this week coming up. And so this is the day that highlights all of that. So we'll see if they can bring it back again. Last Wednesday was a great freaking practice, man. We were rolling. And so we'll see if we can match it up again. But it's their willingness to take part in the kind of the mentality of it all.
Watching this team both on TV on Thursday night and also just at practice, from my angle, they look maybe a little faster and more physical and violent than we've seen the last few years.
Well, definitely are faster. I just came out of the meeting here and I showed them some of the fundamental proof of how we practiced and how it carried over to the game. And the whole emphasis last week and through preseason is running and hitting, you know, getting back to the real football mentality of it all. And man, these guys are going. The speed does show up, and you know that's always a good element of teams. There's nothing I like more than a fast football team, and hopefully we can keep that element, you know, showing up.
And I know through the years, Pete, you've been able to gauge that with your eyes. Technology helps you out now today. Can you also say, technologically speaking, because I know you measure through GPS speeds on the field and acceleration and all the tools that you have, does this team also, through that data, measure up as, man, these guys are flying?
Yeah, you must have been in our meeting. We just showed the guys that all hit 20 miles an hour or faster in the game and showed showed that, because that's the part of the big element of running and hitting. And we had a number of guys that were ran over 20 miles an hour in the game in some part of their play. And so, yeah, we are using that. And we are measuring. We do measure it in practice, too. And so it's just another way to kind of motivate them and, you know, jab them and show them the good stuff and who's doing what. And, you know, one of the things that you guys may not realize that happens in these camps is I'm trying to get these guys to know each other. And so we show highlights every day. And the highlights aren't necessarily just for the play, but it's for the guys to learn who they're playing with, and so that they also not just learn who they are, but they learn to expect what they bring. And so it's part of the accountability thing. You know, once you show us who you are, then we can count on you being that. And so it's a big part of what's going on here. And so that's all.
Is that an
kind of part of the orchestration?
Is there an element of trust to that also? Or, hey, I see that this guy can make these highlight plays, so I trust that if I do my job and they're going to do
precisely
their job.
That is what the whole point of it is to get them to trust and count on the guys around them. And that's so that not only that it builds their confidence to believe in the guy next to them, but it adds to just the relationship part of it. And so all of this is really important. There's a lot going on, and there's a little bit of wisdom in there somewhere. I'm not quite sure, but you know, it's something about building for the setup of the season coming up.
Pete, what do those catapult systems express when Kobe knocks the lights out of somebody, or Devin Bush just stands somebody up? Does that all that acceleration just come to a complete stop, or how does it? I'm just kind of curious how that quantifies.
I can't really tell you. I can't really explain how that works, but there is an explosion, you know, from the collisions that they measure too. It's all part of it. So there's a lot of metrics going on here, and we have a really good staff that tells us what's happening. I'm not telling you that I got it all embraced yet, you know, how to measure and how it, you know, fits, but we have a lot of fun with it anyway. And we showed today, we showed an AI illustration of a robot playing tennis, you know, so we're just trying to keep on the technical edge.
You know, that
here.
Big day here.
So that leads perfectly.
Edge.
Perfectly, yeah. To one of that to the texts that came in, or the way you want to sum it up with Pete, right? As far as old school.
I did have a new thought about you today after years of talking about. How long have we been talking about Pete?
14
it
years.
Feels like forever.
14.
A new thought that I described you today as somebody with old school principles and new school techniques.
I like that.
Does that sound right?
Well, there's no doubt that I'm old school. You know, I'm old. But, I mean, I just referenced Duffy Doherty. You know, who knows who Duffy Doherty is?
I don't know.
That's right. But, the fundamentals of this game really go back to the roots of it, you know, and I'm a real fundamentalist and old school and blocking and tackling and running and hitting and all those things. It's why we always work for balance and the things that you guys always, you know, are aggravated by. But then again, the technology of it, the newness of it, the uniqueness of the things that we constantly are, you know, competing to learn. That's the other element that is part of our makeup. You know, if you don't stay curious, you know, then you've lost your edge, I think. And so, the curiosity really takes us in the realms of what we can learn from science as we're going. You know, and it also helps us to protect our guys better too.
I think many of us are curious where Geno goes year two. I know it's not year two in the NFL for him. It's a lot more than that. But year two, to, you know, as the starter coming in this season, I guess, Pete, I'd frame it this way. What are some things that are underappreciated? We see all the numbers, all the efficiency, all of that stuff. From your perspective, what are a couple areas that that maybe Geno's a little underappreciated that can continue to take another step?
I think the main thing that comes to mind is his consistency. For instance, this was the day. Yesterday was the day that he comes to my office. He has this marked from last year's calendar. That he came on this very day last year in camp to talk to me about what can I do better. What can I, you know, where do I need to improve? And it was cute that, you know, he showed up and he's waiting there. He's all sweating after his workout yesterday, and he wanted to know, okay, what do I need to do to get better? His constant about that, and his constant consistency that keeps showing up, I think is what's going to be the key to this season. You know, we're not asking him to do anything unique or special or out of the ordinary. We want him to just play the game like he knows how to play it. If he does that, then he's a great complement to the rest of the club. So I think consistency is really his marker that will separate him, and I think is going to show another great year.
Does he need to be better than he was last year?
No.
For this team to get
not
to where
really,
it's going?
Not really, but he's aspiring to, of course, but if he can, I mean, he led the NFL in completion percentage. He almost hit the 70 mark that we've been shooting for all these years. I think he lost it in the last week of the season, but that's the same thing. If he can be somewhere in that area, then he will be giving us the kind of play that we need, and he looks great physically. He's really in great shape and ready to go again.
So if you need him to essentially repeat his performance from last year, who has started to take the next step, either rookies from last year that you see all of a sudden this year and starting to get it? Who should we look to be better than they were?
The tackles, for sure. And that was their first season playing in the league and starting and all that. Those guys are so much more at home and at peace with what's asked of them and making their calls and technically how they play and using the footwork that was new to them, maybe the hand punch that was new to them last year. They really seem to be in command of that. I think his connection with DK and with Tyler will improve. I think we know each other better. And I say that because he knows how to place the ball to those guys, and they're uniquely different receivers. The addition of a guy who looks like just such a natural with Jackson coming in, I think is going to be a real enhancement. You know, that he is so at home in the position and what we want to play him at. It's a great fit. So I think it's going to elevate us.
And on the defensive side?
Mafe has jumped out. You know, here, first year, second year, it's that same jump. I heard somebody talk on. I heard a clip of somebody talking about the sophomore slump. I mean, I have no connection to what that thought is. One of the coaches said that. You know, guys suffering from the sophomore slump. To me, it's the sophomore jump. I mean, it's them jumping up because of all of the experiences they had. They could not relate to that thought. Mm-hmm. All of our guys are going to do. Kobe has been fantastic in practice, and he played really well in the game. Kobe Bryant. I would just expect that to happen. Tariq, we're on such a different level with Tariq Woolen talking about how he's doing the things he's doing, seeing the things he's seeing. And so all of those guys should all elevate their game and be a big factor to help us.
Pete, what was the first year you were ever calling defensive signals? That you were the D coordinator calling the defense? Remember what
year? That would have been at the Jets. I don't know what year it was. The first year at the Jets, whatever the heck it was. Coming out of the 80s.
So, somewhere back in the 80s. Do you remember the sophomore jump you took from being a play caller year one to a play caller year two?
Yeah, it's a good point. It's the same. You're just so much more comfortable. You've been through all the first-time experiences, and they don't seem to be as overwhelming as they were, you know, and you're clearer and you're calmer I think you're quicker with your thinking been there, done that kind of thing. And it only demonstrates how important each year is. But I think that the jump between year one and year two may be the most significant of all of them, just because you've come so far from so little, really, in essence.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we certainly saw that with Shane, and I think Clint's going to have that same opportunity. He's also going to have Pete. I can't remember in your 14 years here, I can't remember as much versatility on the back end. I can certainly remember talent and Hall of Famers and everything else, but as far as almost positionless, and Kobe speaks to it, and Julian speaks to it, and Devin when he's back playing nickel, like the versatility that you have on the back end of your defense, is this as rich as any group that you've had from a versatility standpoint?
By far. It's not even close. You know, you go back, Diggsy was a nickel too back in the day in Detroit. That play, that the challenges of that position carrying over to his play now, you know, covering receivers and all. Julian is just, he's just the Swiss Army knife. He's done everything. And he's so comfortable and so natural and such a great communicator, too. He helps guys play better around him. And Kobe is really the illustration of it right now. And Kobe is really taken to playing safety. That's a marvelous jump. He'll also be able to play corner for us when we need him to. And so to have all of those those facets in our guys' games really is, and I'm glad you noticed it, because it's going to be a real attribute. And I think Devin will be another one that you will see. Devin's going to be a really good nickel. He's going to be really good because of his competitive matchups with inside receivers, being able to play one-on-ones with those guys in on a really high level, that plus his blitzing mentality and all. He's going to be a really good player for us there. And he'll play just in same fashion outside, but the nickel thing.
How is he outside?
Oh, he's really good. He's just as challenging as you can get. You know, he's quick enough, fast enough, but it's really the special instincts that he has. He feels things happening before a lot of other players. There's in playing DB, there's players that will play that will react to what they see. And when they see it happen, and then they react. So they see a guy run the out route. As he breaks on the out, they break on it. Both Devin and Tariq also, because of his receiver background, you'll hear him say all of the time, I could feel the in route coming. I could tell it was going to be a quick game situation. And he has a different level of awareness that makes him in a better position more often. And so that's why these guys are standout players, you know. And so fortunately, Julian, Diggs for sure, Kobe Bryant, those guys are all very, very instinctive players. And so hopefully that will give us an edge at times that will make us different.
Pete, you think versatility is a byproduct of the college game a little bit, where you see so much different scheme and styles and everything else? And then likewise, a little bit more speed and space, some of the air raids, some of the tempo, some of the spread concepts that have come to the NFL.
Right. The demands of the throwing game that are so much more a part of the game in college, it just makes guys more experienced. They've had more reps, more turns. I mean, out route's an out route. You know, a slant route's a slant route, and whatever level you're playing on, it's not that much different. So if you've had logged a bunch of opportunities, there's no doubt. I don't know so much about the versatility, because it just depends on how a staff would have played their guys, you know, because you got to get those different looks. You got to line up in different spots. Like Kobe Bryant hadn't been a nickel, you know, and so he had a lot to learn last year. Devin has been in and out some more, so he's got more background, but it just depends, I think, on where they come from.
Well, how about the opportunity for you, though, in matchups, where you've got a Shanahan that has the chess pieces he has, and McVay that moves them around, and a Philadelphia that incorporated, you know, like, doesn't that, I would think that gives you more week-to-week opportunity with that kind of versatility to match up in maybe ways that, again, you haven't been able to in the past?
Yeah, we will have more flexibility. There's no doubt about it, and we'll have more. We won't be reluctant to put say Julian Love on a slot guy or Julian Love on tight ends, because he's done that in his background and he's very comfortable covering different style routes and concepts and things. So that does give us flexibility. Hopefully, if we do it well and the guys take advantage of that, we'll have a chance to really do some cool things. It's really fun for me now. I have as much flexibility as I could ever have with our guys and moving them around and positioning and all. When Jamal gets back in there, same thing. Jamal gives us a whole different variety of things that a safety can do that is really fun to coach and all that. So we're already anticipating that.
I was told to ask you this question. Has Jackson dropped a pass yet in any practice?
Yes.
He has.
Yes, he has.
I was told he had not. So
I know. There, people are saying that. I've seen him drop a couple balls.
Okay.
Two balls. And those are in running routes on air. There was not when he's being defended. Not when, in any, his targets are, he's 100% target wise in team drills. Think of that. I mean, every time we throw him the ball, he's caught it. And that not no defender got in the way, no bad throw. It's just worked out. So he's like, I don't know, 20-something for 20-something.
Is he just sort of naturally open all the time?
Well, yes. Not always naturally open. He has to do it. So he goes out there and puts himself in the right spot, makes the right choice and the right decision, and the QBs are already, they're tuning into him. And so it's been a marvelous realization that the guy could come in so fast and be a factor. He'll be in first series of the first game, he'll be probably getting the football thrown to him.
I got to say, one of your favorite words here. year, but it really jumps out on this team is all the competition at all these different positions. And I was hoping to just ask about where some of them are at, and specifically at outside linebacker. My God, I mean, you just mentioned Mafe and what he's done so far in year two. I can't get over Derek Hall. What does that position look like?
Yeah, that's about what we're missing. Daryl Taylor being out there right now. When he's there, and Chenna, I mean, we kind of overlook Chenna because we're looking at the young guys so much. Chenna is a marvelous player on the edge for us. Derek Hall is now. He's going to factor in. He's a monster of a guy, physically really fast, really got great arm length and his explosion. He's got a great attitude. He's tough as hell now. And so he's going to find his way into the rotation of it. It's helped Mafe too. You know, Boye has just improved his game from one year to the next, but the two of those guys are battling it. They're duking it out with Cross and Big Abe, you know, on the edge every day and getting better at it. Daryl is the most flashy of our guys, rushing-wise, and so that's a good part of it. So we're excited about those guys, and then some of the young guys coming up are pushing too.
You got more competition. Go ahead.
I'm sure. I mean, but we could pick one. How about center and guard?
Well, the center spot, Olu's done a really good job. Unfortunately, he's had an elbow that's kind of bothering him. It's holding him back a little bit. But Evan has done really well. Evan Brown really showed well early on, showing great command. And it seems his experience seems to show up in his kind of, you know, ownership of the spot. But Olu could jump in there right now and battle at that level too. So that's a really good spot for us. Joey, don't forget Joey Hunt. Joey Hunt is a very experienced, very well-tooled, and a tough-as-hell kid in the three spot right there. So that's a good one. At guard, we probably had the most fun watching Anthony Bradford last week. If you go back and look at some of the clips there, he nailed some guys. He is physically 342 pounds last week. And remember that the guy runs 5-flat something, you know, 5.02 or something in the 40. His athleticism with that size shows up and makes him special. Phil Haynes is playing well, playing good ball, and we love what D-Lew does on the other side, but that combination right in there is a good mix.
Bradford versus Bobo in a 40, who do we take?
No matter what you put Bobo in competitively, he's going to do pretty good.
He seems like he does, and I'm impressed because he went to Beaumont Hill, which makes him a Silver Spoon guy like me, so I'm impressed that he's able.
His mom is a teacher there. Did you ever have his mom?
I didn't go to – I went to BBN.
Oh, you went
we're competitors.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. We're much better than Beaumont Hill. Of course, we never beat them in a single game of anything in my time at BBN. But does he have a real shot at making this team? It sure looks like it between special teams and what he's doing.
He's making his bid for it, man. He's making stuff happen. I think the thing that's good to notice, he does it in practice all the time. This is not uncommon for him to go out and make a play in the game. The great play he had in the game was really on the punt. You know, that was a fantastic play, and timing and awareness and spatial awareness and all that really showed up right there.
I just can't get back to what you said 20 some minutes ago. Multiple guys over 20 miles an hour. Like not just one guy, but multiple guys. Salk, have you ever seen somebody run on a treadmill? Like it's got to be a really souped-up treadmill.
12 miles an hour.
Are you
flying.
Insinuating that he doesn't go into the gym?
All right.
No.
This is the grief I take.
I'm saying the Woodway treadmills that go to 25 miles an hour. He's probably never seen those at the gym.
Who hit 20?
When you watch a human run 20 miles an hour on a treadmill, you wouldn't believe it. Yeah. And they're doing this in the game?
Who hit 20?
Yeah, Flanders was at 20. And Benji Franklin was at 20. Somebody else was at 20. They're flying now. They're flying. It's exciting to see.
Well, this has been fun. Give me last thing here. I always ask you this every offseason. What did you read, and what are you trying to incorporate into your coaching this year?
The stuff that I'm trying to incorporate right now is about teaching. We're working on our teaching, you know, and the teaching leads to our learning, because really in coaching, the teaching is as important as the learning is. So we've been working really hard at concepts. We've even come up with a couple new thoughts and things that we're working on, talking about dealing with issues, you know, citing issues and then expressing issues to your team, to your players, and then practicing the issues and then seeing the results of those issues.
So is that an accountability thing?
Yeah, it is. It is. And we're really trying to focus on the littlest of things that we can coach and teach and then take the player through a process where they have to be exposed to what they're dealing with. And then they see themselves practice at it, and then they see the results of it. And then we come back and reinforce. It's a really big part of
it. something that's been easier to do than it used to be here?
I don't know. I don't know if it's easier. I just think a little more, you know, centralized focus, really trying to get everything we can out of the coaches and in that exchange with the players. We have a really good group, and it's a group that we can take deep into their studies of their game, and so we're trying to do a really nice job of presenting that to them.
We got to run. Coach, okay. This is always fun. Thank you. It's great to catch up with you. And I told Brock, I thought Thursday night was the most fun preseason game I could remember in a decade.
I agree with you.
I really enjoyed it.
I agree with you. I had a freaking blast.
And you didn't even get to listen to Mike B the whole time, which made it even more fun.
I know, that's why I had to tune him in afterwards.
Coach, appreciate it. Thank you so
Let's
much.
Do it again.
We'll talk to you soon. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. KJ Wright Show at 8 o'clock. It's Brock and Salk in the
Hay. KJ, say hey to KJ.
Get to the chopper!